are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and I am here with Kamra Ira. Hi, Ira. How are you doing today?
Hey, Ruth. Glad to be back. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing well, and I'm very excited for the episode that we will be covering today. We have a very important topic, which is Venezuela, the new Iraq. But before we get to that, why don't we go ahead and start with a true update?
Yes. Recently, in your area, bringing Leica Cordia home, the neighborhood came together as they marched through the streets of Tampa last Saturday, demanding to bring Leica home, just like Mohammed Ibrahim. Leica is also held in Israeli prison. Members of the community stood in solidarity with our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Also, community members came together last Saturday to call out the Trump administration for the unnecessary and corrupt war on Venezuela. People justifiably identified the Make the Rich Richer scheme hidden behind this new war campaign.
Amazing. Thank you so much for those updates.
The fossil fuel companies have an army, and that army is the U.S. military. And U.S. imperialism is a machinery that imposes global capitalism against the planet at the barrel of a gun, against their will. So again, like, this entire infrastructure necessitates oil. Like, I mean, you saw, Rania, I'm going and chasing down these top brass of the military, and they're telling me straight up, we need oil, we need to keep all these systems in check, and that's the self-fulfilling prophecy of this whole system. You need to keep getting oil in order to maintain the global empire. So when you see this kind of naked colonial imperial aggression, like what Trump's doing in Venezuela, it's just so laid bare what this is all about.
Wow, that was journalist Abby Martin. She's very well known for her anti-U.S. imperialism and anti-colonial work that she has done. And this brings us to today's topic. We want to speak about Venezuela and really discuss what is going on, because corporate media has been busy all week long for the last 2 weeks speaking about Venezuela and doing what I would call, Ira, to be manufacturing consent with what they are telling us, right? But before we start, let's go ahead and learn a little bit about Venezuela. What has happened in Venezuela in the last 3 decades in order to frame what is happening today?
Absolutely. Most people are probably pretty unfamiliar with the history of Venezuela other than what they hear in the news media. So just a brief history of just the past 3 decades. Things really kick off when Hugo Chavez is elected in 1999. He nationalized Venezuela's large oil reserves, used them to transform the economy for 80% of the population who, before he was elected, lived in poverty. The socialist revolution reduced poverty by 50% and extreme poverty by 70%. Expanded literacy, free healthcare, and free university education to millions of people who were previously excluded. Then later in 2002, the U.S. supported a failed coup attempt that, this was declassified by the CIA, and they confirmed that the Bush administration had prior knowledge of this. With the popular support of the people, though, Chavez was able to be restored to power in less than 48 hours. The people rose up, took back power from this obvious American coup. You know, the power of the people is strong in Venezuela. Jumping to 2013, unfortunately, Hugo Chavez passed away, but then Nicolas Maduro, who was previously his vice president, was elected to power. During this time, the U.S. began imposing harsher and harsher restrictions against the Venezuelan people. This caused a massive collapse in oil prices, of which the Venezuelan economy really depended on. In 2015, the bank accounts of Venezuelan politicians were frozen by the Obama administration. In 2017, the Trump administration imposed sanctions which blocked the Venezuelans' access to U.S. markets and later expanded them to block the purchase of Venezuelan debt. 19, Trump imposed sanctions on the Venezuelan Central Bank and signed an executive order to freeze all assets under U.S. jurisdiction owned or controlled by the Venezuelan government and added it to a list of sanctioned countries, which was very devastating to normal functionings of a country. You know, the dollar is strong. America has so much like economic financial power that they're really allowed to punish and starve these countries. And it's hard to operate with these sanctions against like even the most basic functions of a bank. Jumping to 2019, the U.S. tried to pull off their most laughable came to this point, which was trying to impose a puppet president named Juan Guaido.
We remember Juan Guaido.
Yes, we do. Truly a buffoon of all time. Despite being a relatively unknown minor politician who most Venezuelan people had never heard of, and having literally no claim to the presidency at all, other than just declaring himself so, the West took him on a world tour. He went to America. He went to the White House. He went to France, all being introduced as the Venezuelan president. They called him President Juan Guaido. So obviously that failed. He was a nobody. No one really took him seriously inside Venezuela. In 2024, despite over 10 years of sanctions, the Venezuelan people reelected Maduro. The U.S. media, of course, denied these election results despite having zero proof of fraud other than just they don't like the guy. In 2025, this year, the Trump administration has killed 82 people. Actually, I believe it's up to 87 people now in the past 2 months in the Caribbean as of this recording. They are amassing a huge naval presence in the region, and all signs point to preparing for total war and invasion. This is all being done under the guise of stopping drug trafficking, which there is no evidence of. And we'll get into that in the details of that later. On Tuesday, September 30th, Maduro spoke to hundreds of highly ranked officers and soldiers saying, "Let me assure you with my life and the life of the entire country that we will never be a backyard, a colony, or slave to any supremacist empire. Not today, not tomorrow." And he's also had rallies where thousands of people have come out in support of this message. The country's armed forces are at the ready, and more than 8.2 million civilians have joined the people's militia in Venezuela to defend their country and freedom. Just so people are kind of caught up to speed about the stuff America's been getting up to.
Yes, and now since the coup and the intervention and the sanctions have not worked, what the United States is willing to do in order to get to Venezuela's oil is to do a full-blown invasion of the country of Venezuela. And this is why I'm so upset. You know, Ira, this is something that the people inside the United States actually oppose. A new CVS survey shows that a super majority of the people in the United States oppose U.S. intervention in Venezuela. That's a 70% of the people. However, we do know that we have a government that does not listen to the people and they do whatever they want. But I want our listeners to be very clear on the reason why the United States is threatening to invade Venezuela. The reason is because Venezuela is the biggest oil reserve in the world. And the United States wants a part of that. Not a part of that. They want to steal Venezuelan resources. That's really the truth. And I want to remind our listeners about the history, right, of what has happened to every single country, which is, I believe, is just about all of Latin America that the U.S. has been to. And what has happened to those countries? There's not one country around the world where the United States has intervened that is better off today. U.S. intervention is really a code for ravaging a country, for stealing their resources, for just basically impoverishing people, economies that may be doing very well, and destroying entire economies and the future of people in the global South. That is the reality. So there is just no way that I will believe this. We are expanding democracy. And, you know, we're going to get a little bit into the myth that, corporate media is actually putting out here, right? And trying to explain the reasons and trying to justify and manufacture consent and have you believing that we are going to Venezuela in order to stop the drug war, or the drugs that are coming into the United States.
Absolutely. First, let's get into debunking some media lies. So, lie number one, the conflict between the U.S. and Venezuela is about drug smuggling.
And we know that is not true, right? Because yes, Venezuela is not even a major drug producer in the Caribbean.
Nope, it's not a major route for drug trafficking. The U.S. government has not presented any evidence that the people they killed while bombing boats were drug smugglers. But what they do have is the largest oil reserves in the world, which used to be controlled by U.S. corporations until the socialist government came into office.
Yes, and this is something that I want our listeners to really pay attention to, because corporate media is manufacturing consent. I will give you the perfect example. This week, all of the so-called liberal progressive shows on CNN or MSNBC had great discussions every single day, show after show, hour after hour, that they had on the second attack. The United States hit a boat that, you know, allegedly had drugs in it. We haven't seen any drugs from any of these attacks. Like, we haven't seen any packages. We haven't seen anything. But they bombed one boat. And then after that, while the survivors were just clinging to the boat, you know, trying not to die, they bombed them a second time. And the discussion in the media has been all about that second boat and whether it was a legal attack, whether they were just survivors who, you know, under Department of Defense policies and UN policies are supposed to be rescued and not killed just because they are where they were at that time. But my problem with all of this narrative is that it concedes all of the first attacks, which have been 22 of them. None of the attacks on these boats have been justified. The U.S. government has not presented one piece of evidence. And when we focus on speaking about just this second attack, we are making it seem like all the first initial attacks were justified and they were right. And they were not. They are killing fishermen, people that are simply in the sea on their boats, traveling from one place to another. They even killed Colombian fishermen also that they murder. So I want to make very, you know, that distinction very clear. We should not just focus on this second attack on that one boat. We should focus on all of the attacks that are illegal. We are basically murdering people that have not had a trial. Even if there is a boat, let's bring it closer to home, Ira. Even if there is a boat right here in Miami that has drugs in it, the Coast Guard doesn't come and bomb them. They pull them over, right? And they make their arrest, and they love, you know, displaying all the packages of drugs on their tables and saying, we recovered this many kilos of whatever it may be. They love doing that. So why suddenly they have a right to kill people, you know? And I know that at least one of the families of those that were murdered at sea has filed a complaint with the United Nations. And I'm waiting to see what comes out of that. But I really want our listeners to be awake and to listen to the language that is being used, because outlets like MSNBC and CNN are manufacturing consent and justifying the bombing of basically innocent people that have not proven to have done anything wrong. What is another lie?
Yes, lie number two, Venezuela's president leads a drug trafficking gang.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, this is an actual thing. They call it the Cartel de Soles gang that Trump says is Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is the leader of. It simply does not exist. It's not real. It's a fictional gang. Every year, the DEA publishes a national drug threat assessment that reports on the major cartels involved in smuggling drugs in the United States. If a foreign head of state led a drug trafficking organization, why wouldn't it be in that big DEA report that comes out every year? But no, Cartel de Soles has never been included, simply because it was made up when they decided to initiate military action against Venezuela. It is just like the weapons of mass destruction lie that the Bush administration used to justify invading Iraq.
Yes, and to bring it one step further, Trump just pardoned the ex-president of Honduras, who was convicted of bringing like something like 400 tons of cocaine into the United States. He was actually running his entire government as a cartel. And this was proven. He was convicted in the United States and given 45 years in prison. However, Trump just pardoned him. Like, how can you say that you do not want drugs in this country? And this is why you are bombing and you know, threatening to invade Venezuela, when in reality, he just pardoned someone that did bring tons and tons of cocaine into the United States. It's just shameful. And I want our listeners to really know the truth and not follow even what is normally seen as liberal news or, you know, progressive media with CNN, because even they are wrong in their analysis. They are manufacturing consent. They are presenting like this is just a difference of opinion. You know, when we are actually speaking about people's lives and like Venezuela's right to self-determination, they have the right to do whatever they want with their country without our interference. And it's just wrong that we are, you know, that we, as in the United States, wants to continue just impoverishing and interfering in other countries' economies. And then they ask, why are people coming to this country? You know, the truth is that after that history that you read, when they froze the bank's accounts, when they try to put Juan Guaido in place, when they put the sanctions in place and the people of Venezuela couldn't purchase medicine and food, that's when Venezuelans came into the United States. That's why there are so many of them here today. They came right around the same period. And I 100% understand why they came. If right now we didn't have food or medicine or, you know, an economy to provide for our families, we too will flee to another country where we can provide for our families. It's as simple as that. So the United States wants to have its cake and eat it too. They want to go overseas, stabilize the country, interfere with them, create lies in order to justify their actions. And then they want to complain that there are refugees coming here. But of course there are, because they are chasing the traces. They are chasing the traces of what was stolen from them, which is the exact case with Venezuela.
Absolutely. You really nailed it. That is absolutely hypocritical. And I do want to get into our next lie. That is, like, Venezuela is not a democracy.
This is almost a joke, because the United States is not a democracy itself. Can we own that? I think we can, right? We can acknowledge that.
What kind of democracy goes to war when 70% of the population doesn't want war? Not a democracy, not what I would call a democracy. You don't see millions of Americans all standing up in support of this in the way that Venezuelans are standing up in defense of their government and their lives. It is absolutely ridiculous. Same with all of our other imperialist wars. Americans have never really supported wars. Even the American public hated getting into World War II until Pearl Harbor happened. We've always been resistant to go to war as a people. Now, this is especially ridiculous because Venezuelans have regular high turnout for presidential elections, national assembly elections, constitutional assembly elections, constitutional reform elections, and even democratically decide which community projects should be prioritized for state funding. Imagine that level of opinion that you are allowed to give to how things work. Imagine if we got to vote on constitutional reform in this country. That'd be amazing.
That's something we all wish we had, because we have a lot to say on how our money is spent, but we don't have that freedom here in the United States. The United States is not a democracy.
Absolutely not. So that is also why it's critical. Another reason is the way that Venezuelan elections are conducted. It is nearly fraud-proof. Venezuelan elections. Voters have to go to several steps to cast their ballot, first providing their fingerprint, then they vote on a digital machine, which then prints a receipt of the voter's selection that is physically entered into a ballot box, creating dual verification for accurate vote tallies and a robust audit system. Further, the Bolivarian government has gone to great lengths to expand voter access to the country, creating hundreds of voting centers in rural and working class neighborhoods, particularly in historically oppressed communities such as Black and Indigenous communities. Imagine America doing that. Imagine America trying to get more Black and Indigenous people to vote instead of trying to suppress our votes.
One thing I want to mention, Conrad, is why we oppose the war in Venezuela. We know that war in Venezuela will not bring us affordable housing. It will not increase our federal minimum wage, which is still $7.25 today. It will not lower the prices of our groceries. It will not give us affordable child care. It will not give us health care for all. If anything, it's going to spend our dollars making corporations richer, because that's really the only thing there is to gain. U.S. corporations, who now run our government, in case people haven't noticed, our corporations inside the United States run every aspect of our government. They run our executive branch and our Congress, in case people didn't know. But people know that there is absolutely nothing to gain but waste our resources. But let's go ahead and get to lie number five, right? Which is that, you know, the United States is doing the same thing that they did with Juan Guaido. They are already preparing their puppet president, which is going to be Nobel Prize winner Maria Corina Machado, who came from, you know, she's part of the elite class in Venezuela. Her family and her group has tried and attempted coups against Hugo Chavez before, because they feel that Venezuela is a resource to them. And you don't have to take my word for it. Let's go ahead and listen to what she had to say about Venezuela right after she won the Nobel Prize.
And this is amazing, super exciting for me. We will open Venezuela for foreign investment. I am talking about a $1.7 trillion opportunity. Not only in oil and gas, which is huge, and you know that the opportunity is because we will open all upstream, middle stream, downstream to all companies, but also in mining, in gold, in infrastructure. We have our grid right now has a 17 gigawatt opportunity of energy potential that needs to be rehabbed, certainly for technology and AI and tourism. No, Venezuela has 2,800 kilometers of pristine Caribbean coastline ready to be developed. So this is going to be huge.
And there you have it. She invited the United States corporations to basically ravage the country, to come and take Venezuelan oil, which, let's be clear, does not belong to her or her family. I know that she's part of the elite, so she feels like this is her playground, her territory to give away. But she also is giving away the gold and other resources in Venezuela and throughout Latin America. Shame on her for that.
Absolutely. She actually organized the first coup attempt against then-president Hugo Chavez in 2002. Where she helped introduce the violent guerrilla tactics that have been the hallmark of the Venezuelan ultra-right ever since. These range from arson, barricading neighborhoods, even murder, murdering supporters of the Bolivarian Revolution. She supported subsequent regime change operations in 2014, and 2019, I personally will go so far as to call her a terrorist for encouraging this violence, not just the coup attempts, but also the individual, like these small gangs that are terrorizing the Venezuelan people. So, yeah, it's no surprise that she is supportive of this. Did you know, Ruth, that she has recently called on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to invade Venezuela? This murderer, this man who's killed millions, like what woman, what person who loves their people would invite a serial killer of a man to save their country? No, she wants murder.
She definitely does. And particularly after seeing the genocide that Netanyahu has done, even if we just look at Gaza alone, over 50,000 children dead, 30,000 plus women dead. Who will invite someone like that to come into their country and cause harm, you know, and murder their own population? Unless You know, remember, this is someone from an elite family, right? So greed is involved. Money is involved. We know that that's really her true motivation, because they have been trying to take over Venezuela for decades now, her and her family, and they have not been able to because the people came up and said, no, we are going to use our oil resources for the people and to provide to the people. And that is what Chavez and Maduro has done. And this is why, you know, we need to continue to oppose these talking points. Everywhere the U.S. bombs, we are creating enemies. Let me make that very clear. But this level of violence does not amount to any civilization, if anything. It shows that you're still primitive, that you have not grown one bit, that you have not learned from your lessons, where in 2025, you still want to fool the people just the way they did with Iraq, where they just made it seem like, oh my goodness, they are weapons of mass destruction. We have to go in there. And what was the reason for going in there? It was nothing to create destruction and to steal their resources. And it was so that corporations can make money. And we have absolutely, we, everyday people, the working class people of the United States, have absolutely nothing to gain from this. You know, it just really blows my mind that it's 2025 and we are still looking at a military coup and an invention. But it doesn't surprise me because it is what the United States has been doing for, you know, for a century already. So, listeners, I really want you to be awake, to pay attention, to know that it is time for us to get serious about what we are going to do with our country. Our country right now is being run by corporations. That's why our rights are getting eaten away, because corporations have all the rights, more rights than you and I as people inside the United States. ICE are just mercenaries. That's what they are. They are mercenaries for the ruling class, for the corporations, for any time we fall out of place, I'm going to call it, like rebelled, every time we want to protest, they will be there. And they are just starting with immigrants, and they are starting with houseless people. We know that they are also being caged and criminalized for money. But it's not going to stop there. It's going to end up in your doorstep, because this is just the very beginning. We have been made into products from which they could profit. Every person that stopped and caged is profits for corporations. And this is where we are standing. So come the new year, we're going to have to get very serious about our resistance and very serious about the fight that we will have for our liberation, because we have to free ourselves from this.
Absolutely. And just to round us off, you're absolutely right. I believe it 56 countries in Latin America that the U.S. has invaded. Yeah, and you know, in Guatemala, 1954, a democratically elected president was deposed in a CIA-sponsored coup for the profits of the American Fruit Company. We know the history of Iraq, with it being simply for oil. Cuba, America has done so many horrible things to the resilient, brave nation of Cuba. Over 600 assassination attempts on Fidel Castro, a 60-plus year blockade to punish them for the socialist revolution. So the message has always been, if you challenge U.S. corporate power, you will be isolated, strangled, or overthrown. The assault on Venezuela is not isolated. It is part of a centuries-old pattern of U.S. imperialism and economic extraction. This pattern serves one purpose, to keep the world safe for U.S. corporate profit and capitalist domination.
Yes. Well, we are seeing today our rights being eroded, just skipping due process altogether. This is all for the benefits of corporations. It's so that you can have a quicker way into a detention center, into a prison, and have very little recourse in order to come out. That's what all of 2025 has been. The violation of rights, mercenaries just grabbing people and kidnapping them off the streets. All of that violence is the same colonial violence that has been overseas, is simply home now. So, you know, we tell you this so that you can be aware and so that you do not allow yourself to manufacture consent and support this violent government that we have. There is a better life. Like, we should be living complete different lives. We live inside the United States, one of the richest countries. I mean, wealth that has been stolen, let's be honest, but it's still the richest country in the world, and we could be living complete different quality of life, and we are not doing that. And it is because of U.S. corporations that are now running our countries, and they do not care if they walk over us, over our rights. They are eroding everything, even the courts. Ira, even our U.S. The Supreme Court that everybody believed for so long, and I know the leftists were here saying we need to abolish the Supreme Court, and everybody's thinking, are you crazy? How can we abolish them? Except for now, you can see why we were saying that, because they obey to whoever appointed them, and they will always, always support corporate power, and they will continue to vote in favor of Trump for that reason, you know? All right, I think we cover...